Today, I just want to start right off with John chapter 12, verses 12 through 16. Let me invite you to stand in honor and reverence to the Word of God. It says this, this is from the New Living Translation. The news that Jesus was on the way to Jerusalem swept through the city. A large crowd of Passover visitors took palm branches and went down to the road to meet him. They shouted, "Praise God! Blessings on the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Hail to the King of Israel." Jesus found a young donkey and rode on it, fulfilling the prophecy that said, "Don't be afraid, people of Jerusalem. Look, your king is coming, riding on a donkey's colt." His disciples didn't understand at the time that this was a fulfillment of prophecy. But after Jesus entered into his glory, they remembered what happened and realized that these things had been written about him. There ends the reading. You can be seated. And let me pray. Lord God, I thank you again that we can come into this place and worship you. I thank you again that we are given the opportunity to hear your word, to worship, sing praises, and to know that you are a part of us and everything we do. I thank you, God, that you open the doors for us to share your good news all over this town, and you often bring people to us that just need to hear about your love. Thank you, Jesus, for all that you're doing. Now, God, as we prepare to get into your word today, as I prepare to share what you've laid on my heart, I pray, Lord, that you would hide me in the shadow of your cross, that I would only speak your words. But, Lord, just in case something would try to escape, I pray that your spirit would be on every person in this place, that you would protect their ears, that they would hear only what you have for them today. We know it's all about you. So we come lifting you, praising you, and thanking you. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So I have to ask a question. Have any of you ever known someone who was making a grand entrance? You know, maybe like a movie star, or maybe an important athlete, or maybe even a local hero. Have you ever seen somebody making a grand entrance? Have you ever been a part of something that was a really big deal? You know, maybe you've played in a championship game, the Final Four in the championship. Anyway, basketball. No, whatever that college thing is. Not like I don't follow it 24/7 all the time. But anyway, Final Four and basketball championship just took place. They're playing for the Stanley Cup, by the way, the Tampa Bay's team. The Bolts are in that. They're getting ready to play for who gets to go to that game. So anyway, there's a big deal, right? You ever been a part of something like that? Have you ever maybe attended an important black tie event? I know my son-in-law has been invited to some pretty big things over the last few years. It's a big deal when you're invited by somebody that's really important to do something. Esther, you have something to share? That's right. Praise God. Praise God. So there's some pretty big things, right? Have you ever felt like people were interested in noticing you, or maybe noticing someone you were close friends with? Maybe someone who was super popular in your school. You know, we all know who that is, or at least those couple people. Or maybe someone who was a star performer in the Florida Orchestra. I got to sit next to the orchestra at Haley's show the other night, and man, I'm impressed. I love that stuff. Or maybe you know an actor or an actress personally, someone who has had some success. I told somebody the other day, Miles Teller, if you know who that is, he was in our youth group a few years ago, and now he's been in a few movies that some of you might have seen, like Whiplash or The Fantastic Four or divergent, or maybe, he's been in quite a few others. Quite a few others. That's what I think of. See, those grandiose things, those things that are bigger than us, bigger than life, that's what I think of when I think about or read about Jesus' entrance into Jerusalem. I see him as he's the local hero that stands up to the religious leaders. I see him as the star performer who commands my attention as he acts out his part. I see him as a superstar athlete that everyone wants on their team. I also see him as someone who the people are willing to follow. That seems pretty obvious with the reading, right? And I see him as someone who holds the right keys and the right goals. And this causes people to be drawn to him as he makes a grand entrance into the city that day. Today, I want us to consider how this plays into our focus of Palm Sunday. Palm Sunday, right? I want us to think about how all of that can somehow be a part of Palm Sunday. Did any of you pay attention to the video I just had played right before I stepped up here? It asked the question, who are you? Who are you? And then it moved right into who Jesus is, right? I mean, who are you? And who is Jesus? Today I want to think about how we are and how we see Jesus. Because it matters who we are. Because that affects the way we see Jesus. We're focusing on what the followers of Christ often call the triumphant entry. It's called that because in this passage, Jesus came into Jerusalem silently declaring who he really was. And the truth is, some of the people actually understood. Now, of course, if you know me at all, you know that I have to ask questions. Now, Barb and I just had this conversation the other day, and she's like, yeah, people like you drive me crazy. That's not news. I've known that for years. But I have to ask questions. So I want to look at the scriptures today and see what the Holy Spirit is saying as I ask these questions. The first thing I noticed was that Jesus gets on a donkey, and the people around him go a little crazy. I mean, that's my mind. I think they must have went a little crazy. I mean, they start to spread out palm branches on the ground so that the donkey doesn't walk in the dirt. I don't know if any of you have been around donkeys, but I have, and a little dirt in their hooves is not really going to make that much difference. In another place, we read that they actually laid their coats on the ground, too. I thought that was kind of interesting. It almost sounds like a red carpet affair, right? So I had to ask this question as, why a donkey? Why a donkey? Well, the answer to that question is found in an Old Testament prophet. It's Zechariah 9 and 10 says this, "Rejoice, O people of Zion, shout in triumph, O people of Jerusalem. Look, your king is coming to you. He is righteous and victorious, yet he is humble, riding on a donkey, riding on a donkey's colt. I will remove the battle chariots from Israel and the war horses from Jerusalem. I will destroy all the weapons used in battle, and your king will bring peace to the nations. His realm will stretch from sea to sea, and from the Euphrates River to the ends of the earth." Wow. So the Jewish people obviously knew that their Messiah would come to save them riding on a donkey. And they knew that he would destroy the oppression imposed on them by the Romans. The donkey was a statement that was intentionally proclaimed that day. Another thing that we should know about the donkey is that it's known for its strength and its nobility. It was the animal that was normally ridden by royalty of the day, or anybody of high standing that was not military. And it was actually normal for the king to ride a donkey as a way of showing his strength and his humility. Jesus' instructions to his disciples that day when they went to get the donkey were very clear. He wanted a donkey that had never been ridden. This is because the donkey had been set apart. It was consecrated for a specific use. In this case, it was for the master's use, right? And so he said, just tell him the master or the teacher needs it. There's a rabbinical tradition that no one should use the animal on which the king rides. So it had to be a donkey that had not been ridden, or it wouldn't have fit the criteria for this purpose, this celebration. I want you to catch the idea that Jesus is using this donkey. You see, Jesus, I want to say it right because it's in your notes. Jesus using the donkey is the thing that set it apart from the others. Jesus is using that donkey. That's the thing that set it apart. He is the one who sets us free through his sacrifice. But he also consecrates us holy. He makes us able to serve as he created us to serve. He gives us strength to do the things that he shows us to do. And he sets us apart as wholly consecrated to his holiness. It's only through Jesus that any of that happens. And then there's this prophecy that's foretold the Messiah riding into Jerusalem on a donkey. Zechariah's prophecy is that of a gentle king that comes into Jerusalem riding a young donkey. This is the same one who will defeat chariots and war horses and bring peace to the nations. One of the final scenes of Revelation is a picture of a conquering Christ riding a white war horse. But today, he rides a donkey in hope of peace. Make sure you catch all of that. When Jesus tells his disciples that he should ride on a donkey that no one had ever ridden before, he's revealing openly that he is the Messiah. That's what he's saying in this triumphant entry. And this is a public act that only a king would do. From this, we can conclude that Jesus riding a donkey into Jerusalem was more than just an idea that he came up with to get into the city that day. This was a plan from the beginning of time. It was Jesus announcing to everyone who he was. This is Jesus making a statement. You ever made a statement with your life? You ever stand on a principle? This is Jesus making a statement. That's why the people had to praise him. That's why the people had to praise him. Don't let me preach you to sleep today. Wake up a little bit. Thank you, Xavier. All creation felt the need to praise the Creator at that moment. All of creation. That's why Jesus said, if they were silent, even the rocks would cry out. He was announcing to his creation that he had come to set it free. And with freedom comes celebration. With freedom comes celebration. Let your heart know that. Let your head know that. Let your mouth know that. With freedom comes celebration. Also, along this line of thinking, was the well-known fact that Roman soldiers would enter the city after a battle in a triumphal military procession. They came declaring their military might and brute and strength, right? They would come in chariots and on horses. They would come with battle armor on and declaring their victory, much like the Good News Club shirts that we wear. They would come ready to show off what they'd done. Jesus chose to enter with a crowd of people, but in a much different way. He came on a humble, small animal that was known for its usefulness. The donkey was not an animal used for war. It was a common man's tool. The donkey was a humble animal that carried a humble Christ for all of Jerusalem to see. Wow. Jesus was making the statement that he came in peace, not in triumph, as the Roman soldiers often came. But then there's this other question about why they laid palm branches and maybe even their cloaks on the ground for the donkey to walk on them. And this was a little bit baffling to me. I have to admit, I didn't just learn this. I've known it for some years because it was one of the things I learned when I was going through my classes. But it was actually a practice of the people from the east. See, when Jehu was made king, he was made king of Israel, so you know, king of Israel, he was riding in, and the people spread their cloaks on the steps as a way of honoring him. It was an honoring thing to put down. It's still an honoring thing if you think of red carpet, right? I'll be honest, I'm not much into watching all of that stuff, the celebrity stuff. But I know, even without watching it, that watching the red carpet or being brought onto the red carpet is a big deal, even today. This is kind of that feel. And it's a statement that the people of Jerusalem understood. They're saying, we acknowledge you as the King of Kings, and we will follow you as you conquer the Romans. Wow. Jesus is riding a humble animal into Jerusalem, and the people already understand who he is and what he's doing. And they start honoring him as King of Kings right away. So Jesus enters Jerusalem declaring he is the coming Messiah. And the people acknowledge him as their coming Savior. I want you to realize this. This day, that day, it's a celebration. It's a celebration. It's time to party. It's a lot of excitement, and it's something that we should all understand. Why? Because each of us who has met Jesus understands the joy that only he can bring. The overwhelming love that he gives. The exhilaration of being in his presence. The emphatic praise that comes from having him enter our Jerusalem. That's why we need to celebrate. That's why we need to praise. That's why we need to be ready to share him all the time. When Jesus enters, things are changed. Simple as that. When Jesus enters, life is different. When Jesus enters, we understand that we have a purpose. So today, I challenge you to accept Jesus as he enters. Will you allow him access to your whole being? He wants to give life. He comes to give peace. He enters to bring rest. But he requires all that you have. See, it's not cheap. It takes everything. We are invited into relationship with Jesus when we allow him into our hearts. We are included in Jesus' family when we accept his love and his forgiveness. We are welcome to his table when we decide to follow his teachings. And just like the people who witnessed his triumphal entry, we are given hope when we put our trust in him. Jesus entered Jerusalem with fanfare and praise. The people couldn't contain their excitement as he made his entrance as their coming king. They celebrated his arrival that day, and nothing could hold them back. I wonder if we understand how that translates to us today. You see, Jesus entered Jerusalem as a king that day. He rode into that city proclaiming who he was, and no one could keep their excitement bridled. They knew enough about the Old Testament prophets to realize what was happening in front of them, and that knowledge brought them to celebrate. Today is the day that followers of Jesus commemorate that joyous day. And it's the beginning of a very sacred week that ends with the ultimate sacrifice anyone can make for someone else. But for us to truly understand why we are excited about this, we must make the choice to follow Jesus. First step, we must make the choice to follow Jesus. So I want to end our gathering this morning with a plea. If you have known about Jesus, or if you have heard of his sacrifice, but never been able to connect your life to his, I'm pleading with you to come to one of these altars and kneel to pray. Ask him to reveal himself to you and willingly accept what you hear in your heart. See, that's the key. Accepting as the Spirit woos us, calls us, draws us. That's where we get a little confused. It's hard to let it come from here to here. But as we react and as we receive, we can make this happen by allowing him the freedom to do it. Amen. The Holy Spirit is given as a promise to all who will come to Jesus asking for his gift. Will you come? I also want to make these altars available to anyone who feels they want to come and pray for any other reason. We're told in Matthew 11, 28 through 30, then Jesus said, "Come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle at heart. And you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy to bear, and the burden I give you is light." If you're trying to carry a burden today, will you come now and lay it down so Jesus can give you rest? And last, for all of you who claim to know and follow Jesus as Lord and Savior, I beg you, will you begin to celebrate the life his sacrifice is for you? He gives us so much more joy when we humble ourselves, take up our cross, and follow him into all that joy that that he provides. Please stand with me. As we celebrate Jesus entering the city of Jerusalem today, let's be determined to celebrate his entering into our lives. As we realize he came to bring peace and love to the people of his beloved city, we can also remember that he came to bring peace, hope, and love to those who choose to follow him today. He invites all who will follow and understand this. And he invites all who will follow him to live in this way. The King is coming, and he is coming.